Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
So now I'm going to introduce to all of those who are watching via the internet or whatever, Vedh Narayan Das, disciple of mine, who's on my suggestion quit his prestigious and well-paying job in the United States of America to come back to the deep south of Tamil Nadu, where in this lifetime he was born, to preach Krishna consciousness. So basically I'm going to be asking questions and you can answer. So you were born in Trichendur, which is a town in the deep south of Tamil Nadu, which is a famous site of one of the two most famous Murugan temples. Murugan is a common name in Tamil for Kartikeya, Skanda, Subramaniam, Kumar. There are so many names of him. So that's a famous temple and thousands of people visit daily. And you were born in a temple priest family, Brahmin family. You just told me the other day, Krishna Yajnavedya family. but you yourself never had any religious upbringing in particular, is that right? I mean, you weren't raised to be a temple priest. Your father wasn't a temple priest.
My grandfather was.
Your paternal grandfather was a temple priest.
Yeah, his name was Narayan Iyer. So his name was given to me. So every day,
Kaganj.
He would go to temple every day for the Mangala Arati.
Your grandfather.
My grandfather.
Yeah, paternal grandfather.
Yes. Up to the age of, he lived up to 84. Until he was 80, he was able to walk.
You'd go to Mangalarti?
Every day.
What time is the Mangalarti?
5 o'clock. So he would take the fresh milk from cow.
You had a cow in your house?
We had, but then later point we don't have. So we'll go, there's a Yadav community, we go get the milk. So he could take the fresh milk and he walks to the temple till the age of 80. So for the Abhishekam Prasanna. So he started a sabha called Vishwarupa Krishnarti, which is like Mangalarti Sabha.
Just to encourage everyone to go to the Mangalarti.
Yeah. So he started in around 25 to 30 devotees every day.
Yeah. He was a temple priest himself.
Yes.
And then why wasn't your father following that line now?
My father was educated.
He got modern education.
Yeah, in textiles industry, and then he went for job.
So practically your father had decided, your grandfather decided that your father wouldn't continue in this life.
Yeah, generally in those days, not so much income from the temple.
Right, so it's under the Tamil Nadu government, is it? And they don't give enough money to maintain a family. So the priests are forced to do something else. I see. Now, what about your religious upbringing?
So only thing you know is, my father every day, he will after coming back from work, so he will do puja every day. Even when we were moving to different places because my father used to work in different places. So we settled
different parts of India?
Different parts of Tamil Nadu. So we were in Coimbatore for quite a long time, almost for 10 years. So during my school days. So at least on festival days, so she do puja, now we'll be taking part in the pujas. And he knows some of the slokas from worshipping Skanda, like Subramani Bhujagam, composed by Adi Shankaracharya. Like that. And so our only religious background is our father doing puja.
But he didn't teach you anything?
No.
And of course in the school they don't allow to teach anything. And it might be even that the young people, they have a somewhat skeptical attitude toward the whole Hindu religion. Is it? That's the background.
Yeah. You're
coming from a family that's been worshipping the deity for generations, but due to modern education, they think this religion is all just something backward like that. Okay. And then, how did you get out to America? I met you in America.
So, my father, even though he was working, he's not as much earning. Mm. Also, he's like a short-term person, so he, you know, he gets out of the job.
He gets thrown out of jobs.
Yeah. Or he himself gets thrown out. So, finally, the point came that I'm the only son. I have elder sister and two younger sisters. So, I have to go to work so that I can maintain my family. So I have to get my elder sister married, younger sister married, last sister married, with all the...
You have three sisters.
Yeah.
No brothers.
No. Mm. So then, you know, but no, I was, you know, going to school and everything, and so I was always in the top, even the school, even the college. But then I went to Chennai for my master's degree.
Which line was that?
Computers, Master of Computer Applications. Mm-hmm. And then I was working and at the same time part-time studying. So I finished my studies and then I was trying very hard to go to US so that I can get money.
Oh my, the main thought was money.
Yeah. Mm. And then finally, I finished my MCA, I got an offer letter, and then I had to go to US.
So you went to America pretty much out of school now?
Yeah, I finished my undergrad and I was working for 3 years and then at the same time.
And you went immediately to the Seattle area, was it?
I was there one month. I was in California.
Uh-huh.
The day I landed, they put me in an apartment.
Microsoft, was it?
No, in the beginning I went to a different company.
Uh-huh.
So the day I landed, you know, it was in Concord, California. There is a Muruga temple.
There are so many people from Tamil Nadu coming.
Yeah. So and then in 1 month I got moved to Seattle. I was hired by a company and then they put me in a job contract. Mm-hmm. And then I moved to Seattle. So from that point I was in Seattle.
And you were there for 14 years?
For 14 years. Before Microsoft I was working for two other companies.
I see. And you did quite well there materially, huh?
Yes.
You purchased a house. And
yeah, two houses.
Two houses, yeah. And how did you come to Krishna consciousness? You came to Krishna consciousness after leaving the land of Bharata.
Yeah.
And you came to Krishna consciousness. Did you know anything about ISKCON before you left? You never heard of ISKCON?
When I was working in Chennai, T Nagar, that's where the old ISKCON temple was.
Right, we had a
temple. So I used to take a bus. Yeah. The bus will go through that. The international society.
It goes through Burkitt Road.
Yes, Burkitt Road.
Yeah.
Right.
You used to see the sign.
Yeah, I used to see international society. Okay, this is not for me. Mm-hmm. But I'm actually a weekend devotee of Lord Shiva. In Skanda, in Tirchendur, the sanctum, Garbhagraha, has only Skanda, and also Lord Shiva is also there. So I worship Skanda and I worship Lord Shiva. So when I was working in Chennai, my godfather or my brother who took care of me materially in the beginning.
Mm.
So he is he took me to Thiruvannamalai.
Right. You used to do that every month they have
the circumvallation
of the hill.
So I did that in 1998 before I went to US. Three times I did in almost 3 months I did 5 times. So I'm like every
Pradosh
praying to Lord Shiva.
Send me to America.
No, I never prayed to Skanda or Lord Shiva and that, you know, I need to go, you know, be materially wealthy. All the time I just showed and I requested that, you know, please show me the right path and also, you know, everybody should be good. So that was my prayer as long as I remember.
You had a pious inclination.
Yeah.
And that temple there in Chennai, there's the famous Shiva temple there.
Yes, there's a Lord Shiva Vishnu temple. So I used to go to that temple on the Usman Road. On the Usman Road, there's the two roads. Burkitt Road goes this way, and then Usman Road goes this way.
No, there's a famous ancient
temple. Yeah, Mylapore.
Yeah. So anyway, you really didn't know anything about ISKCON.
No, I didn't know anything about ISKCON.
I never knew it exists.
Yeah.
But you didn't know there was a worldwide movement of Vaishnavas.
No.
You had no idea.
I'm just, you know, I'll just go to Shiva temple and worship and come.
Even that was more than most of your college mates would do, probably.
No, they wouldn't. They would. Yeah.
They wouldn't do. Although I used to see, even till fairly recently, that even now, many of the college boys, they keep a picture of some deity or something in their at least here in South India, and even I saw in Madhya Pradesh, it depends where you are, the college boys will keep a picture of Hanuman or some deity they'll keep.
Yeah, I kept always with me.
Suppose they're praying to pass their exams.
Yeah.
So depends where they're from. If they're from South India or Bihar or Madhya Pradesh, the less advanced places, they'll still worship.
I always kept Tirchandur Skanda and also Thiruvannamalai Lord Shiva.
Mm-hmm.
So those two only I kept all the time.
Yeah.
So I, in my life, practically I see Skanda guided me to Lord Shiva and then Lord Shiva guided me to ISKCON.
Mm-hmm. So how did you end up in ISKCON?
So I used to work in a company called PACCAR, Pacific Car Company. It's a big truck manufacturing company in US.
Mm-hmm.
So when I was working there, for me, they have to pay a lot of money because I'm a contractor. So they hired a local American who can get paid less. So they want me to throw out of the job.
Mm-hmm.
So they want me to out, and then I have to transition all my work to him. So I always carry, you know, whatever, you know, I don't eat out. Whatever we cook at home, I take.
That was your habit.
Yeah. So I take lot of food from home
mm-hmm.
and then I distribute to everybody. So this person became friend. So he used to ask me all the questions, and I used to wear, you know, even though I was in US, I was wearing big all the time with
the,
yeah.
The
Shaivite
Namam, they call that, like Tilak.
And then I used to wear a Rudraksha.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to put Kumkum in the middle. So he used always asking me questions. You know, why are you wearing this and I'm not wearing? You know, will God be angry with me that I'm not wearing this? And I used to fast on Pradosham. They're basically like Ekadasi, Dwadasi, Trayodasi.
Mm-hmm.
So Trayodasi day is for the Lord Shiva. So I used to fast, completely fast from morning till evening.
Mm-hmm.
And evening come home, take shower, then offer something to Lord Shiva, then I have
mm-hmm. shalom.
So he used to ask question, oh, you're fasting, I'm eating, will God be angry with me?
Mm-hmm.
So he asked all these questions, even though I had faith in my heart, but you know, I couldn't answer his question because I don't have any background of philosophy or any tattva. So then we became friends with one other Indian gentleman, but he looked like American because he's settled in America for a long time. His name is Mukesh Sharma. He got initiated, you know, Rashachandra Prabhu, disciple of
him. He looks like American, but I mean...
Because he's been in US for a long time.
His skin color is still skin like an Indian.
But you know, he was
he's a Sharma from North India.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe
he's
light
like,
color.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
So I thought he's an American because to me...
Talks like an American, yeah. Walks like an American.
So then we became friends, you know, we used to have lunch together, we go for a walk, and then this American always used to ask questions and I couldn't answer, this person would answer. So you know, his questions are all answered, and then I started liking Mukesh Sharma. And then at one point we have a conversation, myself and Mukesh Sharma, then he says, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of God. I said, no, that's for you, Shiva is the Supreme for me. Then immediately he went online and then he showed me the Bhagavad Gita shlokas, where Krishna establishes his supremacy, right, you know, in chapter 10 and also 7, 8 and all.
So
and all.
Many.
Yeah. So I just, you know, it happened in the office, you know, I'm going
Bhagavad Gita, had you ever read Bhagavad Gita?
I've never seen Bhagavad Gita in my whole life until that point, till I was 27 years old.
Of course, in the Tamil Shaiva culture, they don't ascribe importance to Gita at all.
No. And at home,
most of India, importance is ascribed to Gita, but not among the Tamil Shaivas or Smarthas.
Yeah. At home, I did not have. When I was in Chennai, I didn't get one.
Mm.
I even used to go to Bangalore, I didn't get one. But after going to America...
Bangalore you used to go?
Yeah. I used to attend, you know, try for my jobs and everything.
And you used to visit that temple there?
Was no, ISKCON,
no,
I have not been there. Mm. So I got Bhagavad Gita. I got introduced to Bhagavad Gita through Mukesh Sharma in the office. Then I started reading. Then at one point he told me that, no, you say you are a South Indian Brahmin family, and we have a temple here. Bhagavad Gita classes being conducted every week. Why you are not coming? So he says, no, I. You know, it's a shame on you. He actually told me like this, you know, I'm very ashamed at you because you're not even coming to the classes and you say you're a South Indian Brahmin. And that really, you know, struck my heart, and immediately...
He didn't say to you because he's a Brahmin, I guess.
Yeah.
You could take it from him. Was it something like that?
Yeah. So he told me, you know, You say you're a Brahmin, but you know you don't even come for the Bhagavad Gita classes.
Mm.
So immediately I went and I took my car, shut down my computer, took my car, and immediately went to ISKCON Temple. But even though I went, myself and my wife, we went to the ISKCON Temple in Seattle once after getting the car, to get the car puja done. So there itself, the first day itself I met Harivilas Prabhu, but I didn't know who he was. So they told, we have some Bhagavad Gita class every week. The temple, old temple was very, we are from South India, Skanda temple, it's a big temple, and the deity worship is different.
For you, temple means a huge thing.
Huge thing, and also the deity.
Whole, right, right. Yeah. It's completely different. I was just thinking this morning, where when we were at the Kutralan, the Shiva temple, that in South Indian temples, they do aarti every minute. In North India, there are fixed times. Yes, it's yes. Only 5 or 6 times a day, and it's yeah. It's a fairly long procedure, but in South India, the harati goes on continually throughout the day.
Yeah. So also in South Indian temples, they have prescribed times for aartis.
Yeah.
But this is for the visitors.
Right. They do. It goes on. Yeah. Just goes on throughout the day.
So then, we did car puja, and then we wanted to get out of the place as soon as possible. Me and my wife, we took the car puja, it's done, then we immediately left. We never came back to the temple.
Mm.
But later on, when my son, my wife was carrying, he's almost 20 days before his birth. That's when we met this Mukesh Sharma Prabhu, and then, we had this, I went to the temple straight away on that evening when I read Bhagavad Gita, because I couldn't argue with him. On what basis I can argue, because I know Bhagavad Gita is the ultimate authority. That much I knew. So as soon as he told, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, I cannot, okay, if Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, I accept. Then I immediately took my car, I went to the temple, looking for Bhagavad Gita in Tamil, because I'm not that much comfortable in English.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to read in Tamil. But then there is one Bengali pujari was there, and then one American Mataji was there. And then they told, we don't have Tamil, only English. And I went and bowed down, to the deities, and then I left for home. But from that point onwards, every Sunday I'm there.
For the Gita class?
Yes. So then Harivilas Prabhu was there, and we are going to regular classes.
And you then you started taking up to Krishna consciousness?
Yeah, the point was, Mukesh Sharma told Krishna is the supreme, and it is there in Bhagavad Gita. Then that
you're
was the time.
To accept on the basis
yes.
of Shastra.
Yeah.
Okay. And then, but your wife was slower in coming.
Yeah, me and my wife had so much fighting in the beginning stages. So at the moment I realized that, the Krishna consciousness is the right thing. So I used to go to, we used to live in Renton, which is quite far from Seattle downtown.
Mm.
So every Thursday, His Grace Harivilas Prabhu will have a program in the University of Washington. He will go on Harinam,
mm.
and then he will conduct a class. So the Harinam will start from evening 7 o'clock, or maybe 7:30 till 8:30, and then 8:30 he'll have a class. And by the time it finishes 9:30, then we'll have Prashadam. So I did not know anything, I didn't understand anything. I like to go on Harinam.
Mm-hmm.
And then he sings Samsara Dava Nalalindaloka. He sings with harmonium.
Mm.
So I like the way he sings. And then at the end of the program, there is prasadam. So nice, dal, chawal, papad, everything.
Mm-hmm.
So I always okay, if I go there, I can get nice prasadam.
You can get it home?
No, we have prasadam. Right. But this is, this is different. This is different because this is Krishna prasadam.
Mm.
So Harivilas Prabhu himself cooks and brings every Thursday. He used to bring. So then every Thursday I'll call my wife. I have overtime work. I'm not coming home. You eat. So I don't go home. But somehow she found out that I am going to this classes, and she called Govindan Jayendran Srinivasan. She called him, and then he told, yeah, Narayan is sitting here in the class. The moment I went in the night, she was quarreling with me, and I immediately called up my grandfather, my father-in-law. And told him that, this is, today is done, tomorrow your daughter will come to Trishandur, you leave me alone, I'm going to be here, I want Krishna consciousness, if she is anyway obstructing me, she will come to you. Then immediately that point, my wife, she understood, okay, this person is really strong, so.
Mm.
So then later, gradually, she started
When
coming.
She got that Bhakti Yogam book.
Yes, yeah. she got the, she was, you know, she doesn't want me to go, but then she got the book and she started reading, studying the book. Then she understood, okay, this is the, you know, real thing. And she was very hesitant to even change the altar at home, because we are traditionally Muslim. So
she's also from Sri Chandu?
Yeah, she's my cousin, my aunt's, my aunt's, my father's sister's daughter. So my aunt's daughter. So, you know, she doesn't want to even, you know, take the Skanda picture out of the altar. But then, you know, after...
I heard a few people who got that book and they changed like that.
So after she studied your book, then she is convinced.
That's the beginner's guide.
Beginner's guide to Krishna consciousness. Yeah. Bhakti Yoga or Arimugam.
I've heard of other cases of Indians in particular. They get the book and they say, oh, this is what you have to do, and they just start following it. There was one long time ago, she's initiated by me a long time ago, in she was actually in Anand in Gujarat. She got the book. She had no idea that there was an ISKCON center there, and she was following all these things for months until she came to the temple and followed. She was just doing at home everything. Now, so you took up Krishna consciousness very seriously, and after some time your wife did also. Yeah. And you were going on and eventually got initiated by me.
Yeah, so basically I met, you know, so many Maharajas used to come in Seattle. Mm-hmm. First time, you know, in 2004 you came to Seattle, and there was a program arranged in our home. That program, the title was Krishna Consciousness in Family Life. So basically there you know one point you told that really struck me, because he told you Indians, all of you come from India to America, then you don't respect your parents, you want to use your parents for your own enjoyment because you want your children to be taken care, so you bring your in-law, you know, your mother-in-law, your father-in-law, your fathers
only when you have children.
Yes, yeah. So that really, you know. And your point on, you know, you told, you know. So I, then at that day, that night I decided, okay, you know, you know, I have to ask prayer from you, you know, I have to get Diksha from you. And then I asked my wife, you know, His Holiness Bhakti Goswami Maharaj, you know, that's where I'm going to get shelter. Then she said, okay.
And you were, and you still are very grateful to Hari Vilas Prabhu for all the guidance.
Yeah, Hari Vilas Prabhu is, you know, he's our Siksha Guru, he's like our father.
Yeah, uncle. I said that when I was last there. Yeah. Uncle Harry.
So he even, you know, we got initiated. Vedanaki, she's very much into service. So Hari Vilas Prabhu, you know, nurtured her Krishna consciousness in such a way that, you know, she's all the time engaged in cooking. Mm-hmm. So even in the temple, you know, she used to make any time, any big festival, you know, Hari Vilas Prabhu will assign, you make vadas. So she told, her name is not Vedanayaki, she is Vadanayaki Devi. She all the time cooks. And she got a lot of friends also. From Andhra, one of her god sisters, Padma Madhaji, Radhika Gopinath Prabhu. So they, you know, they all became friends and they started doing a lot of service in the temple.
Then eventually you came back to America. Sorry,
India.
Back to India.
Yeah. So,
usually it's a case of Yad Gatvana Nibartan. They usually go to America and they might come back to visit, but they won't come back to stay.
Yeah. So, you know, I've been working in Microsoft, and, you know, our house was very close to temple, so we want to continue there. So then I got the instruction from you that, you know, it's better you come back to...
We need preachers.
Yeah. You come back to your own place and start preaching. Then I think I specifically asked the thing over the phone in His Grace Gokulchandra, who was there in Salem. Then, you know, I requested you on the phone that, you know, I can actually work here and send more Lakshmi through, you know, we can do service through Lakshmi. Then you told, no, I don't need Lakshmi. I need you. Please come. Then, you know, at that point I decided, okay, let's go back. You know, to convince my wife was a little difficult. Mm-hmm. She got used to all the American facilities. know, she used to drive cars, she used to
take women especially, they get all kinds of machines. Yeah. Now in India, of course, everyone has a mixie and washing machine and all these things.
So it's also very tough to, you know, leave the congregation because we're all of us, around 30 families, like, you know, Tamil Nadu, Kerala, Andhra, Hindi, Bengali. We became so close, tight family congregation, but then to leave and come, it was really tough. But then, you know, because it was your instruction, I took it.
Yeah, I said, why don't you come back and preach? We need so many preachers here. So then you came back, and I gave you the idea you can invest your money and build an apartment, or buy or build an apartment building and rent it out.
Yep.
And then you can live on the rent, which is what you did.
Yes. Yeah. So
the first year or so when you came back, a lot of time went just in overseeing the construction and everything. But once that was done, then you got into some regular preaching.
Yes.
And it's been successful, and it's developing more and more also.
By your mercy.
It's developing more and more. So how do you keep yourself busy now that you're not working?
Yeah.
No more Bifale Shevinu Kripana Durajana Chapala Shukala Balagi Re. This is the words of Govindadas spoken centuries ago. Uselessly serving some selfish rascal simply for a little sense gratification. So anyway, you're not doing a job anymore, but you have sufficient income. Life isn't as comfortable as in the West, I guess. But what the hell? You're here to serve Krishna, right?
Yeah.
So how do you pass your days?
So pretty much, you know, my sons and my wife used to say, hey, when you are in America, at least you can talk to us over the video. Now we are here, but you're busy, so busy going here and there.
So, if you don't shake them away, I'll catch them. Yeah, go on.
Yeah. So yeah, we pretty much keep ourselves busy. You know, every day Mangalarti we have. Mm-hmm. You know,
how many people come for that? That's just in a hall.
In our home.
Yeah.
We have downstairs and upstairs.
We have that hall upstairs.
So, yeah, upstairs is the we are using as a, you know, gathering program.
That's your family home, is it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So in the morning around 15.
Oh, and that reminds me also. When you came back, your parents also became.
Yeah. So my father came. Both my parents came to Seattle. After I got into Krishna consciousness, that is 1 year after. So then my father, I didn't tell him anything, because when I came into Krishna consciousness, immediately for my son's delivery, my mother-in-law and my father-in-law came. So because I was very brand new in Krishna consciousness, I used to, you know, argue and try to convince my father-in-law. But you know, somehow, you know, it became like literally a fight kind of thing, where he was like, yeah. So then, when my parents came, I decided not to open my mouth, just be, you know, nice to them. And I took them everywhere. And they saw Harivilas Prabhu, they saw Rompal Maharaj, Indradhumna Maharaj. And they were there for 1 year, my parents. And I took them to different ISKCON temples. My father was inspired, and then when my father left to India, I gave him all Prabhupada lectures. It's a full MP3 CDs, around 23 CDs. So I bought, I gave him a full set. Mm-hmm. Because he's retired, so I told him, you please listen to this. Mm-hmm. So he is good in English, he is better than me. So he knows English, Hindi. Mm-hmm. So I gave him full Prabhupada lectures, and then he took it, and he was, you know, listening all the time. So he was listening all the tapes. So he listened all Prabhupada lectures. Then at one point when I called, my grandfather was sick. So when my grandfather was about to pass away, he was listening to Srila Prabhupada's Hare Krishna Mahamantra and Prabhupada lectures. And then my father was there with him, he's serving my grandfather. And then my grandfather left by listening to Hare Krishna. And then later when I called, my mom used to say, your father is chanting. And he's chanting 32 rounds every day. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, he took Bhagavatam sets, Srimad Bhagavatam, and he completely read. So right before his passing away, he came to Seattle.
He passed away in Puri.
Yeah, he passed away in Jagannath Puri. So he came to Seattle.
He also got initiated.
Yeah. Yeah, he got initiated in the Tirupati temple opening ceremony. Mm-hmm. No, he got initiated by Your Holiness, he and my mother. And he was really serious. So his character, you know, before his initiation or before he came to US, his association was bad, and you know, he used to have, he used to drink and he used to do all the bad habits. But then when he took up Krishna consciousness, he became 180 degree opposite. Mm-hmm. He's completely, he used to drink a lot of coffee. He quit everything and he became, mm-hmm. It took seriously, and then he read all the books. 2010 he came to America. He was there with me for 1 year. So he read Srila Prabhupada Lilamrita, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Brihad Bhavatamrita.
Mm.
He completely read all the three books, and then he came to India. And then when he went on the yatra in Puri, Jagannath Puri, he left his body.
Mm-hmm.
When he was going to the temple, so after the Simadwar,
mm-hmm.
He crossed the Simadwar, and then next entrance he left.
See Prabhupada's mercy on so many fortunate souls.
Yeah.
His Prabhupada's mercy is just spreading more and more and more. People are taking his books, taking up Krishna consciousness. So yeah, so you're going to tell me how do you pass your days? You're very busy in preaching.
Yes, Guru. So we have every day Mangalarti we have, and then right after Mangalarti we have Bhagavatam, Srimad Bhagavatam classes.
Mm-hmm.
Then we go, finish.
And you mostly take that, is it? You give the class.
Yes, Guru.
Mm-hmm.
And then we do.
How many devotees are there?
So Mangalarti around 10 to 15 average they come. And then morning Bhagavatam class around 10 to 15 devotees will come. And then I keep myself busy, studying the Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada books. And also, we have nearby villages where we go take classes. So I go there twice a week. There is a Krishnanagar congregation. I go and take classes there. And then I visit Tachanallur. Sometimes I visit,
So you have a whole preaching network expanding,
yeah.
Huh? There in Trichandur, there's a whole group of really dedicated Mataji devotees. They're really into studying the Bhagavatam.
Yeah.
And your sister, she's a really staunch preacher.
Yeah.
She really personifies this Jare Deko
Tarekoha Krishna Upadesh.
Whenever she meets, she'll grab them and start telling them you have to chant Hare Krishna, Krishna is Supreme. She's making devotees like anything.
Yeah.
She's really convinced by reading Prabhupada's books, and she's hardly even seen ISKCON temples. I mean, she went to Mayapur in this.
Yeah.
But
she's just attending all your camps.
Yeah.
Primarily your camps. Actually, they all came first to Guruvayur, your Shravan Kirtan camp. So from that point, they come for your camps.
Now, one major factor in the religious scene down here in the south of Tamil Nadu, actually throughout India, and especially in some areas, especially South India, it's very prominent. And in South Tamil Nadu, especially the Christian conversion, it's a major factor. And in fact, in the next district, that's the Nagarkoil district, it's actually Hindus are a minority. It's a vast majority of Christians now. How does that affect your preaching? Or
actually, it doesn't affect us. We go. The only thing is when we go to public schools or even private schools, even some Hindu schools, they don't allow. This college where I studied, it's a government college. It's run by Hindus.
Mm.
So even though it's run by Hindus, they're afraid to openly say we are having Bhagavad Gita classes, or even to allow us to speak. So only I gave, after coming from US, I gave only one class in the college where I studied,
mm-hmm.
For the professors. And that also they told, you should not wear dhoti, and you should not speak about Krishna because we have professors from all Christians and Islam, Muslims and everything. Then I said okay. So I just put pant and shirt, and then but I had my tilak on. I told them I will definitely have my tilak. Without tilak I won't come.
Mm-hmm.
And then I gave them the class and everything. At the end I told, if you really want real solution. They wanted to talk, they want me to talk about stress. And I told them everything, and then if you really want real solution, permanent solution, then you have to come, read Bhagavad Gita.
Mm.
I openly told them. So the thing is, the public sector or even schools and colleges, they are all afraid. Even Hindu colleges, they are afraid to know.
Now, I had that experience when I was first traveling in South India, down here in Tamil Nadu. That must have been the early 1990s. We'd arranged some school program, college program, and then it would be cancelled regularly. There might be one Christian in the class of 30, and they'd protest, and then just cancel the whole thing.
Yeah, there's one school, Kamaraja Nadar Melanai Palli, that's in Kurumbur. It's done by Hindus. So the principal is favorable, so I went and did classes for the 8th, 9th, 10th standard. So I did only one class for the... It's separate classes for boys and girls. I did two classes, then the third class they told, please don't come. Because somebody complained. And we didn't even talk about anything, specifically just by the way our attire and how they are promoting Hinduism, like that. So that's the obstacle we have, but then it doesn't affect us going out and preaching.
You can't get into the schools.
Schools is tough, yeah.
You went to one town. There's a town in this area called Nazareth.
Yes.
Tell me about that.
So this Nazareth, this one person, he used to work in a bakery. There is a bakery in Trichandur, Shanti Bakery. The owner is our congregation member. He is helping us. So this person used to work in the bakery. Then the moment he saw me, I went to talk to the owner, and then he saw me and with this attire and everything. He told, okay, why don't you come and teach us Bhagavad Gita in Nazareth? I said, okay, we will come. So they even
then so the Hindus.
So in Nazareth,
it's called Nazareth. They renamed the place because there are so many Christians there.
Yeah, so many Christians are there, and there are certain areas of Nazareth they won't even allow Hindus to even rent or even to run a business. Though basically they want only Christians.
Yeah.
So but there are Hindus living in Nazareth. So where we go and take classes. So even in Sathangulam, every other house may be Christians. But we go on Harinam, we distribute prasadam. Christians, they don't take prasadam also. So that's the problem.
In many areas, if we try to do Harinam where there's a Christian majority in South India, they'll physically stop us.
Yeah.
In Andhra Pradesh, that's quite common. They're very, very physical to stop.
So for us, I think that thing didn't happen. One time happened in Trichandur, 4 kilometers away from Trichandur, there's a place called Topur. It used to be full of Hindus, 400 families.
Mm.
Now 200 families are converted into Christians. So when we are going on Harinam, and then this one person came, and he told, hey, you should not chant and everything. He was really physical. Then we stopped and we came. So next day morning, I called the chief of the Topur village. And one person from there, he used to work in my home. He is a, construction person. Then the moment he knew that, he actually behaved like this, immediately he went and he, called that guy, he chastised. You don't know who he is. He left everything from America, he came here. He is a Brahmin, he is preaching. And, if at all do anything, you will be, he will be punished. So then he got quiet, now we are fine. Now we are conducting weekly classes now, and my sister is taking there. Every Saturday we have class there.
Now, there was someone called you to preach in a place where there have been many Christians, a lot of Christian conversion going on. Tell me about that.
So, there is a village called Subbayapuram. This is from Tirunelveli to Shankaran Koil. So, there is a small village. So, when we are preaching there, it's around 300 families.
Mm.
Out of which, around 10 families, when we go into the village itself, you can see there is a big church.
Mm-hmm.
So what they do is they pick the pujari of the, there is only one temple, Kali temple, Durga temple. They pick the head priest of the temple and then they convert him into Christianity.
By money.
Yeah, by money. And then he converts around 10 people like that. So like that they have converted.
It's all a business because they get commission for everyone they convert. And
so,
they'll do by any means.
So we were actually giving classes and everything. So at some when the topic came, I told them,
Brought up a question.
Yes, so many Christians were there. I can see them. They sometimes they chant, Eshapa. something like that. They showed, and then I told, say,
they came to your program.
Yeah, they came to our program. So I told them, you know,
they think you're Satan or something like this.
So I openly challenged them. So I know you are actually, so many Christians are there, even Muslims may be there, but I'm actually having an open challenge. You can bring your father, you know, from the father from your church, or even, you know, superior father, or you can even bring Pope, or even you can bring, you know, from Islam, you can bring any mullah. I will ask only two questions. If you can answer these two questions, you know, then I can convert. So the two questions were, why somebody is born here in Subayabram village, you know, with no money, you know, with, you know, so much poverty, and why somebody is born, you know, very rich in America? Why this diversity?
Why is God doing that?
Yeah, and there is no answer for this. So why is this happening? You know, why somebody
they'll give some answer, but they don't. Yeah. They won't have a very good answer.
Yeah. So I told, if you want to answer to this question is answered in Bhagavad Gita, because you know, it is, you know, only when you accept the soul, and when you accept, you know, reincarnation and karma, only this can explain, and this can be explained only through Bhagavad Gita, and you don't have basic questions answered in you know, Bible or Quran, then how can you? Then this after the class.
What's the second question they can't answer?
So the second question, you know, I tell them, you know, if they say, you know, only Jesus is the one savior, and what about, you know, what about my great grandfathers who was born before Jesus? Jesus is only 2000 years old, right? So what about my I know, because my grandfather, my great grandfather used to be there. So they are, you know, what happened is, because Jesus was not even born. So how can you say, you know, only Jesus is the savior? You know, these questions you don't have answer. So then after the class, those people came and told, you know, we have been cheated. You know, your questions were valid. You know, they just come and, you know, cheat us and kind of get us converted. You know, from now on we will come to your classes like that. Yeah.
And they're studying Bhagavad Gita?
Yes.
Okay, that's good. Now, the way the Christians are making conversion, it's very bad. They're very blasphemous. And they do all kinds of tricks, just like that's well known in Kerala. They buried a cross in the ground, and then they dug it up and then said, I believe that was near to Sabarimalai, and then they said, this is actually an ancient Christian holy place. But how a cross could be in the ground? The wood wouldn't survive. They say it's 2,000 years old from the time of St. Thomas. But wood wouldn't survive 2,000 years in the ground in Kerala. And all kinds of even the Catholic Church itself, only until recently, they said that, no, St. Thomas never came to India. But then they changed. They changed their opinion because they thought it was good for Christians. And they make this whole thing how he was killed by Brahmins and all this. And there's that hill, they call it St. Thomas Mount, and it's just hearsay. They say all kinds of things. Brahmins wouldn't kill him. Brahmins don't kill. If anyone, they'd leave it to, if they wanted him killed, they'd leave it to the Kshatriyas. But they wouldn't do that. It was the Christians when they came to India, first of all, the Vasco da Gama, and then the Saint Francis Xavier. He did. He was horrible. He's a saint. The things he was doing was horrible. The way he was converting others. So,
I generally ask the question. You know, you say you are Christian,
yeah,
but you don't even follow the basic thing. You know, thou shalt not kill.
Yeah.
You know, so we are actually Christian. You are not a Christian. I just tell them. You know, how can you say you are a Christian? You say, you know, you be, you know, nice to your neighbor, you know. Jesus told, you know, if somebody, you know, slaps on your right cheek, you show your left cheek. Mm. So, how can you, you know, kill your fellow beings? No answer from them. You know, animals are, you know, created by God for us to...
us to eat. What a horrible idea. Horrible idea.
So when I was in Seattle, just behind my home, there's one, her name is Terry, you know, she had a son, and I also had a son, so both same age. So she used to come to our home, you know, she used to, you know, we had Gopal, deity, His Grace Mukundada Prabhu, okay, and we were worshipping. So she came and she was, you know, attracted, she gave flowers to Gopal and everything. And she became so friendly, and she started taking Krishna consciousness. So she started asking questions, you know, why we should not eat meat, because by eating the chicken, I am delivering the chicken from the misery, because animals are suffering. By killing them, I am delivering them. At the same time, I'm also getting nourished. And I told, okay, you say like that. So your son is there. So if I tell you that, you know, somebody comes and tells me, you know, eat, you know, small child, you know, if I can, will you allow your, you know, son to be killed, and, you know, somebody, your son is suffering, you know, he had cold.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's small babies, they have cold, he's also suffering. So let me deliver him, and also let me, you know, cook and eat him, will you allow? Oh, no, he's my son, yeah. So similarly, the chicken has, you know, chickens has mother, they have their own family. Just because they don't know our language doesn't mean they know. You cannot take anybody's life. Then she actually quit eating meat, and she started coming more often, and then her husband, you know, got on her case, and she stopped.
Mm-hmm. There are many cases like that in the Western countries. Long ago, I was with Rancha Prabhu and some others in Dublin, and we had a little rented house. Dublin in Ireland. We had a little rented house, and we were doing daily programs. The local children would come, and they'd come and join the kirtan. And then they stopped coming. And then I saw one of them on the street, and I asked him, why do you stop coming? He said, our mother told us it's the devil.
Krishna.
Okay, Jai. So you have to go off to a program now. Just time for you to go. All right, we'll go on preaching, expand. How about encouraging some others to come back from the West, and they can go back to their own areas and preach? And how about that? Anyone else?
Madhava Chandra Prabhu already came.
He came, yeah.
But
he's not doing so much preaching.
He's in Bangalore. I don't know what is he. I think his plan is to do PhD or something. No, he wants to. He wants to get into that academic field for, I think, university.
Oh, I see. Yeah, how about encouraging others? Why aren't others coming? They should come back and do some good for their fellow Indians. This is the best preaching field in the world, in India.
Yes.
Most important, because India is the... Traditionally, it's the spiritual capital of the world. So you can encourage others to come also. Maybe they're afraid of losing their opulence. I don't know. It just seems like an obvious thing to do. If you get this great knowledge and you have enough money, so why go on working all your life?
Yeah.
When you can use your time, you're still young, and I mean relatively, how old are you, 45?
44.
44, yeah. You still have enough energy, and why go to work? Oh, I'm working on and on and on and on and on.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah. Tell them to come. I mean, some should stay there for the temple activities, but they're expanding more and more there also. All right then, Jai, Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.